This episode is brought to you by Currys Business. Whether you run a bustling cafe, a busy office, or an inspiring classroom, Currys Business has the tech for your 2025 business plans. Upgrade with their January epic deals with up to 30% off hundreds of products, from laptops to TVs, connected mobile to coffee machines. Shop at business.currys.co.uk, visit your local hub, or call their UK-based specialist business centre. Currys Business, powering your business in 2025.
Adobe Express makes it quick and easy to create everything I need for my business. From social posts to TikToks and flyers, all in just a few clicks. Get Adobe Express for free. Search for Adobe Express to find out more.
Hello, 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 and welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, and thanks for downloading our little show right into your ear holes. Now, speaking of little, today's guest is anything but. That's right. Shaquille O'Neal is supersized in every way. His resume is longer than his body, and the dude is like 7 foot a million. He has earned 4 championship rings during his playing days. He's the co-host of Inside the NBA, a show that's won 21 Emmys. He's a judge on The Grind, a pitch show that handed out $60,000 in prize money to entrepreneurial students. He owns like a gazillion franchises, a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm going to stop talking so we can hear from him. Welcome back, Shaq.
Hello, how are you? That was a hell of an intro. I appreciate it.
All right. Man, you're a busy guy, man. You don't just sit back and relax.
No, you know, growing up under the tutelage of a military drill sergeant, you're always taught to just stay focused and just keep working and on to the next. You know, when I've never been one to live on my laurels or, you know, be impressed with my accolades. I work hard, receive accolades, and then just, you know, continue to move on.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very inspiring. It's always great to talk to you. And you've got I wanted to start with this new thing that you've got going on, The Grind. If you could talk a little bit about that and tell us how it's connected to one of your many businesses, which is Campus. I think this is a super cool thing.
Yeah, you know, when we were coming up with the concept of The Grind, we wanted to, you know, bring this entrepreneurial journey to life with a 3-episode video series. And we just wanted to give, you know, kids and young adults a chance to pitch. You know, we shot it at Joe Lonsdale's home in Austin. We had like a series of Shark Tank style look at, you know, we wanted to see grit, resilience, determination. We wanted to see belief, and turned out to be pretty good. You know, some of the youngsters and the adults, male and female, they came up with some great ideas, and we gave our expertise, and it was great.
I watched a bunch, and one thing that I thought was interesting advice that you gave a couple of people was you kept telling them, don't get nervous when you talk about money. And I'm wondering, you know, about that specific advice, but also you've been on some of the biggest stages in the world in front of cameras and on basketball courts. How do you calm nerves? How do you stop yourself from getting nervous? Or has that never been an issue for you?
You know, when I was giving those kids the explanation, I was speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've done a lot of that. But when you come into somebody's world and want to borrow their money to come into the world, you have to be confident when you're talking. Like whenever I, you know, try to use OPM to, you know, build other companies, especially like in the tech space, you got to speak to the tech experts, and you got to know what, you know, you got to know what you're talking about. You got to understand, you know, the ins and outs of it. So when I'm talking to people, I really try not to be nervous. I try to, you know, do my due diligence and really know and understand what I'm asking for, and you know what I'm doing. So when I was giving those kids that information, I was, you know, speaking from experience. You don't want to go in a meeting with Jeff Bezos and ask for $100 million, and you want to be confident. You want Jeff to know and understand that, okay, Shaq, I believe in what you believe in. I'd like to be an investor in your company, Shaq.
You know, I think a core piece of what you just said, which is such great advice, is I think people think that they're supposed to know everything, that they're supposed to walk into the room as an expert. And what you just said, I think, is such great advice, which is to say, ask people questions, find things out. You don't have to pretend you know everything.
Yeah, because I've always believed in the power of hard work, grit, and, you know, surrounding yourself with good people. And, you know, in this world we live in now where information is so readily available, it's okay to ask. You ask Siri, you ask Bing, you ask Google, you ask ChatGPT. Just ask.
Yeah, that's so great. I wonder if there's any advice you could give people about getting comfortable in your own skin. Because I've read that growing up, you know, maybe at certain points in your life, you weren't so excited to be much taller than everyone around you. How did you kind of get comfortable with who you were and embrace yourself? And is there any advice you can give people about that same thing?
You know, one, you have to try to be as confident as you can in yourself. But I am a product of my environment. I wasn't comfortable until I seen another tall NBA player by the name of Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. Like, man, he's smiling and he's dribbling and everybody loves him. And, you know, the perks that he had, I was like, you know what? I like being tall now. You know, at first, yeah. I'm the tallest kid in school and everybody's looking at you. But, you know, it comes a lot of perks with being tall, especially if you're a great athlete. So it took me a while, but around the age of 14, when I started coming into my basketball body, then I just forgot about it. And then, you know, the good thing was being so tall and being so muscular, defined, like I'd go meet people and be like, how old are you? I'd be like, I'm only 17. I'd be like, oh my God, like that was the best. Like around a whole bunch of adults, how old are you, 23? Like, no, I'm 16, 17. Oh my God. I used to love that. I can't say that now, but I do look good for 50, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But Shaq, I mean, the heartbreak you make, you know, the money that you're making, you love cars. Can you fit in a Lamborghini?
I was the dummy that bought a regular Lamborghini, a salvaged Lamborghini, and I super glued them together. It should be online somewhere for you to find. Just type in Shaq's Lamborghini.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's innovative thinking. I don't know if a lot of people would think to do that.
And then I just bought a 4-door Lucid and made it a 2-door.
Really?
Yeah.
So you squat or stretch, whatever you need to do, whatever's in your heart. That's great.
Yep.
So you're such a proponent, obviously, of entrepreneurship, about education with campus. You're also really big on franchising, as I mentioned at the top. There's so many franchises that you're involved in. What drew you to that, and what do you like about it as opposed to just starting your own thing from scratch?
I call it OP, ownership and partnership. You know, of course, I'm not running the franchises, but you partner up with people that are smarter than you. And it is about owning, being team members with brands that are very, very successful. You know, when it comes to campus, it's like the reason why I invest in campus, because I think they're redefining what education looks like. You know, it's not about just sitting in the classroom. It's about taking what you learn, mm-hmm. putting it into action. I actually get more information by doing it the way I do it. Like, I'm in school now, of course, and you want to get the books and that. But when I want to get that extra information, I just type it in and it's all there. So,
yeah.
You know, because I want to be getting a master's of liberal arts, but I want to be a sports psychologist. So I'm just typing every day thoughts on sports psychology and getting all these notes and getting all these definitions and everything. So, you know, I remember in college where you had to go to the library or you had to go, you know, pass friends' notes. Now information is so available that you can get it. I just, you know, the only thing I would caution people is make sure you're getting the right information.
Right, of course. And I'm imagining that sports psychology, imagine there's a lot of young players in the NBA who are asking you for advice. Is that
yes, they are. But, you know, I haven't met, like, I'm the type of guy, like you're a journalist, so I have no problem with what you write and what you say. But, you know, like, a regular guy can't come up to me and say, let's write a book. With you, with your, you know, journalist background, you can have that conversation with me. So I kind of find it hard to believe a guy that's never been in pressure situations can tell me how to handle pressure. But I think once I come with the academia credentials, people know my my sports background. They know that I understand. So when you put those two together, I think it's a very powerful component.
Yeah.
And I've been checking. I haven't seen any sports psychologists that have won championships. And I've had a lot of pressure. So I want to be the first and only.
That's amazing. Is there something at the core of maybe today's players? Is there anything that you hear from them that maybe wasn't something that you thought about too much during your playing days? Have things changed, or is the league essentially the same?
The league's not the same. I think guys are more sensitive to that because of the comments.
Ah, right.
And I have one proven strategy that will help them go to the next level. My strategy is proven because we had something similar to comments that were called bad articles. And you know, reporters saying something, and then ESPN, you know, talking about your highlights. But now it's, and everybody's trying to create platforms, they're reading their brand, they just, you know, it's a lot of so-called pressure on the kids. But I think the formula that I'm going to create, I can help alleviate some of that pressure if they follow what I'm telling them to do.
Is there any sneak peek of that, or are you want to save it till you?
I'm gonna save it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, you're obviously you're a great leader. You've been a great leader on the court, and I'm wondering, you played for six teams. What's Shaq's day one like in the locker room? Like, how do you kind of like greet the new team? How do you let them know you're one of them? What's that process like for you?
It's like watching any penitentiary movie. Okay. If you're a badass on the streets, day one, you have to let them know who the badass is. So only one time I didn't do that. That was when I went to play with LeBron, because he already had everything under control. But every other locker room that I go into, you know that I'm in charge. And if you don't, you will quickly find out. If you don't listen to my ways verbally, I will have to put these hands on you. And I put hands on a lot of players. I'm not going to say who, but it's my way or the highway. And if you don't like it, then you will get dealt with properly. So, I'm just letting them know. Especially like I'll first day of practice, I'll see who I got. But you know, a lot of times you get on a team where guys think it's about them, and you have to let them know in front of everybody, hey, man, shoot the ball one more time and I don't get it, I'm going to punch you right in your face. And then if they come down and shoot it, then you got to punch them in the face. So once they know you're serious, like once I gained control, then it was easy.
That's amazing, man. Wow. We mentioned several championship rings. Is there one that stands out to you? Is there one that means more to you? Or are they all powerful in their own way?
The first one and the fourth one. First one's a long time coming. Especially after being one of the biggest name superstars that always got swept. And everybody's saying, you'll never get one. So after you get the first one, it's good. Then you get the second, you get the third. And after you lose a third one, they go, oh, you'll never get back again. And you go and try to get a fourth one, and you lose to Detroit. Then they go, oh, you'll never get another one again. Then they trade you away and they say, oh, you're old. You'll definitely never get another one. Then you get that one. So the fourth one was good. First one and the fourth.
That's beautiful. That's great. So, Shaq, I've had the pleasure of talking to you several times, and the first time was in person down by your house. And I want to show everybody something that I got as a gift, as a parting gift from that meeting. I think just to give people a little bit of scale, this is Shaq's sneaker, and that's real.
Yes.
A little bit of scale there.
You know what they say about people with big feet?
What's that?
They got big socks.
And what was so great is that, so that time that I spoke to you, I was working at Maxim magazine, and we would give a celebrity a stack of cash, and we would just hang out with them for the day and see how they spent it. And so you wanted to go to the mall, but the really cool thing was on the way to the mall, it was a hot day, and we saw a bunch of landscapers working out there in the sun.
That was you?
That was me.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You stopped, and, you know, instead of, like, buying some frivolous thing just for fun, you, like, handed these guys a stack of cash. And they was like, they couldn't believe that they were meeting you, that you were giving them money. It was, like, it was such an awesome thing to see.
I remember that day. Yeah. Yeah, I like to do things that my favorite spots are Best Buy.
Yes.
Walmart. I was in Walmart yesterday shopping for my own kids, and I seen this mom and daughter. And I like the ear hustle. You know what that means, ear hustle?
No.
Ear hustle means listen to people's conversation.
Oh, okay.
So the girl was going, "Mom, I want this, I want this." But I know mom was trying to do her best to, you know, get what she can afford. So everything that the little girl looked at, I just waited behind her, and then I just grabbed it.
Oh, wow.
So then when mom got her, paid for her stuff, I was like, "Here you go. You guys left this. This is free." She's like, "No, I can't take it." I was like, "It's already paid for." So, yeah. And then I told the little girl, I said, "Little baby, don't ever take stuff from strangers."
Wow, that is so awesome. Wow. And what, I mean, what do you, is that just something from your upbringing? Like,
no,
not everyone does that, that can do that.
So I did a press, I don't know if you saw my press conference about 7 years ago. I said, "I don't call me a celebrity, because celebrities are assholes."
Right.
They're weird. No, they are. They're weird. They're fucking stupid and they're disrespectful. I never wanted to be that. My mother gave me the greatest piece of advice ever. And it's so simple. It costs you nothing to be nice. Mm. I am who I am. You know who I am. But I don't have to always throw it in your face.
Right.
Leave me. I just got the new Cadillac Escalade. Shut the hell up. Like, be nice. So if you're nice, I'm nice. We live in a crazy world where we need a whole bunch of niceness. So
yeah,
I always wanted to be the guy that just I'm just nice. I don't want credit for buying a little girl toys. It was just something nice to do.
Because I remember
me and my mom being in that position. Like people now always try to buy me stuff for Christmas, and I've never really got a lot of stuff for Christmas. Because I was a juvenile delinquent, a high level. But two, because my father had a conversation with me and said, "Hey, you're the second man in charge of the house. When you're a man, you always have to protect, provide, and love for your women." I got a lot of sisters. So he said, "Hey, I'm going to take care of them first. Barbie houses, ovens, and all that. And I will get you next payday." And I understood that. So I never really received a lot of presents. Now, that's why, like, now when I want something, I'll buy it, because I really didn't get a lot of presents. You know, as long as people are happy during the process of me trying to make them happy, that's what it's all about for me. I don't want any credit for it. Just got to be nice.
That's awesome. I love that, man. Well, you bring a lot of joy to basketball viewers, to people who happen to be in the mall with you. But you know, the other thing that I remember, I mean, it's just got to be such a great feeling, is we're walking in the mall and you could see people, like, you know, far down the hall, like they start, like they go, like, "Wait, is that?" Like they spot you, and you just see this glow light up on their face as you walk by. It was a really cool thing to witness. So I want to ask you this. There's all kinds of buzz about this new Bob Dylan movie coming out, Timothy Chalamet. So I'm wondering, one day there's going to be a biopic of Inside the NBA. Can you cast that? Who will play Kenny, Chuck, Ernie, and you in the biopic version of Inside the NBA?
He's the tall guy. Oh, Ernie's going to be played by Vince Vaughn. Because Vince Vaughn is funny. Charles going to be played by, give me a fat actor. give me anybody that's fat.
Eddie Murphy as a clump?
No, fatter. Who's going to play me? A good-looking guy from London.
Oh, Idris Elba?
Yes. Idris Elba's going to play me.
Nice.
Yes. And then Kenny's going to be played by Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
And then Charles going to be played by Fat Joe.
Awesome, man. Well, Shaq, it is always so great to talk to you.
Thank you,
always,
brother.
Just love hearing what you're up to, and you're just, your spirit is so inspiring and awesome. So I'm wondering, maybe
that was the, you. I'm looking at your face. That damn sure was you.
Yeah. That was me, man.
That's, yeah.
You signed this sneaker to my kids.
Yeah.
And this sneaker has gone to many elementary school events, the kids go crazy for it. So thank you.
All right.
Wondering if you could give us one quick going out to entrepreneurs, to aspiring entrepreneurs who are maybe a little trepidatious about taking that first step. Can you give them a little pep talk to get them on their way?
Well, hard work, grit, surrounding yourself with the right people, really focusing on what it is you're trying to accomplish, realizing that Rome was not built in a day, also realizing that before you succeed, you must first learn to fail, also realizing that failure and success is nothing but a different form of tests. If you succeed, the test you have to focus on is how to keep succeeding. If you fail, the test you have to focus on is how do I not fail again? So it's constant work. You know, a lot of times we see people make it and then they just either switch up or they just stop working as hard. Me, I will never work because I'm known to get a trophy on a Friday and Saturday. I don't want to use the term throw it away, but put it away. So when I put it away and don't see it, now that automatically makes me go get another trophy.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
Moral of the story is never be satisfied with success. Just continue to be successful.
That's our show. Thanks so much to Shaquille O'Neal for dropping in once again. Love that guy. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and do all kinds of things like that to help us make the algorithm happy and help other people find the show. You can also see video clips of this on our social media channels. That's at Entrepreneur on all channels. And check out our YouTube channel, Entrepreneur's YouTube channel, so you can see this episode live in the flesh and you can see just how big that giant sneaker really is.